Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something really interesting, a transcript from a YouTube channel, GM Wintermute.
Right. It's session two of their Sunless Citadel campaign, played using Fantasy Grounds.
Exactly. And our goal here is to really dig into this one session, pull out the key events, you know, the big decisions the players made, maybe some surprising twists.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how a story unfolds moment to moment in these games. A transcript gives you that raw, sort of play-by-play look.
It really does. Now, before we dive fully into session two, the transcript mentions a bit of table talk at the start.
Mm-hmm. About different GM styles, right? They mention Colville, Mercer, Perkins.
Yeah, and how they handle things like monster difficulty, challenge ratings.
Yeah.
That whole discussion about encounter balance.
It's a classic GM topic. You know, how much do you stick to the book versus just going with the flow and what feels right for the story and the party?
Definitely. Okay, but let's set the stage narratively. Remind us where session one left off.
Sure. So the adventurers, they met up in Baldur's Gate, got this job from a Carolyn Dacrell.
Right, find her missing kids. Well, adult kids who went into the Sunless Citadel.
Yep. They reached Oakhurst, learned about the Citadel, got promised salvage rights, double pay if the kids are safe. Standard adventuring contract, basically.
And they'd already gone in a bit.
Yeah, they descended, fought some plant creatures, then a water mephit. Kind of nasty.
Okay, so session two picks up right after that fight.
Exactly. They're in a hallway just outside a closed door, ready for whatever's next.
The classic moment of anticipation. What's behind door number one?
Or, well, this door. So they listen, hear some whimpering. Faint, but there.
Whimpering, not growling.
Nope. So they open it up. Inside, it's kind of a rough chamber. There's a pit, signs of a fire, an empty cage. Looks like something broke out of it.
Okay.
A bench with some random stuff on it. And on a bedroll, there's a kobold weeping, saying stupid, stupid, stupid.
Wow. Okay. So not a monster lunging out, but distress.
Yeah. It immediately changes the tone, right? You expect a fight. You get this vulnerable creature instead.
So what's wrong with him? Why the crying?
They ask, and he manages to get out one word between sobs.
Kraken.
Great. Okay, now we're talking. This is where session two really starts moving.
Definitely. This kobold, we find out his name is Meepo. He explains, well, tearfully explains, that the clan's dragon, Calcrix, was stolen.
Stolen by who?
Goblins.
Yeah,
he says goblins took their dragon, and he's clearly devastated. Like, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen.
And the transcript gives some context here about kobold culture, doesn't it?
It does. Mentions they see themselves as, like, heirs to dragons, engage in dragon worship. It's core to their identity.
Even though these specific kobolds are described as evil.
Right. Which is an interesting detail. Even, you know, evil creatures can have strong beliefs, things they value. The dragon is everything to them.
Makes sense. So what about the missing people the adventurers are actually looking for? Carolyn's kids.
Good question. They ask Meepo about them. Remember, they're adults, like in their 20s.
Yeah.
Meepo says he hasn't seen them, and there's an insight check.
Ah, the are you lying role.
Pretty much. And the check suggests Meepo is, well, probably being honest right then. He's just completely fixated on the dragon. The missing humans aren't really on his radar.
So his priority is crystal clear. Dragon first, everything else second.
Absolutely. And that leads to his offer. He's clearly messed up. Lost the dragon. His clan's probably furious with him.
So he needs help.
Desperately. He says, look, if you promise to make nice with my leader and help get Calcrix up back, I'll take you to her.
Make nice. I like that. Diplomacy via kobold.
Yeah, yeah. He promises safe passage, answers to their questions. It's a classic alliance of convenience. They need info. He needs dragon rescuers.
Makes perfect sense. So they agree.
They do. A deal is struck. Meepo perks up a little, seems hopeful now.
And he leaves them off.
Yeah. Guides them through the hallways. He even uses, like, secret kobold passwords.
Seriously? What language?
Turkane, apparently.
Yeah.
He calls out these passwords to let other kobolds know the party is friendly. It's a nice little touch of world building.
Yeah, it shows they have their own systems, their own society, however basic.
Exactly. So they reach this big chamber, smoky, kind of bustling. It's the main kobold living area.
How many are there?
Transcript says about 24 kobolds, cooking, tanning hides, just living. Three of them look a bit tougher, like warriors.
Okay. And the leader, Yuzdrail.
Meepo takes them right to her. She's sitting on this crude throne, just chunks of masonry piled up.
Classy.
It's positioned right in front of an altar, and the altar has this carving a dragon holding a metal key, very on brand for them.
Got it. Guards.
Two armed guards flanking her. Standard procedure for a queen, even a kobold one.
So the introductions happen.
Yeah, Meepo presents the adventurers, they explain themselves, confirm they'll help get the dragon back from the goblin.
And Yuzdrail. She agrees.
She does. Promises them a reward, confirms Meepo can go with them, you know, supposedly to calm the dragon once they find it.
And does she know anything about the missing adventurers, the original quest?
She does. Says they came through, went off to fight the goblins, and just never came back. Which confirms they went deeper into goblin territory.
So the path forward seems clear, at least for now. Find the goblins, find the dragon, maybe find the missing people.
Pretty much. But Yuzdrail adds another piece of info. She mentions an outcast.
Ooh, who that?
A guy named Erky Timbers lives somewhere below them. Apparently he grows fruit.
Fruit. In a dungeon.
Yeah. And Yuzdrail says he gives this fruit to the goblins. Sort of implies he serves them, maybe. Described as big and burly.
Interesting. Is that all?
Well, she also mentions that some druid, Balak, came by earlier asking about Riki too. So maybe he's more important than he seems.
Hmm. A fruit-growing outcast helping goblins who a druid is looking for. Okay, filing that away.
And there's a bit more on the fruit, actually. One of the players makes an intelligence check, overhears something.
Eavesdropping pays off.
Sometimes. They hear that the goblins get different kinds of fruit, like summer fruit and winter fruit. It suggests a regular trade.
With Erk.
Yuzdrail confirms it. He gives fruit to the goblins. They sell it off twice a year or something. Just another little piece showing how this underground ecosystem works.
Right. It's not just empty rooms and monsters. There's trade, relationships.
Yeah.
However weird.
Exactly. So the adventurers ask about the reward Yuzdrail promised.
Just on offer.
She points to some trinkets on that dragon altar, estimates it's worth maybe 50 gold pieces altogether.
Okay. Not bad for a starting adventure.
Then she gives a key, presumably the one from the altar carving, to a guard, tells him to lead the party to a passage.
The way to the goblin area.
Yep. Meepo, eager beaver that he is, agrees to go along. Plan A is still, rescue the dragon, don't hurt it.
Right, into enemy territory we go.
So Meepo and this guard lead them to a locked door. Guard unlocks it. Small corridor beyond.
Any problems?
Immediately. Meepo spots a trap on the floor, warns them, and carefully steps around it. Good thing they brought him.
Phew, close call. Then what?
Another locked door. This one looks more complex. Requires a skill check.
Sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Lock picking.
Sleight of hand, yeah. Player makes the roll. Succeeds, gets the door open. These skill challenges break things up nicely.
Keeps things from just being combat, combat, combat.
Right. So behind this door is an L-shaped corridor. Dark. Party's light sources are all that's lighting it up.
And Meepo, does he know this area?
He says no. Hasn't been here since the goblins took Calcrix. So uncharted territory now. Tension ratchets up.
Makes sense. And then?
Then they hear something. Noises. And a smell. Garbage, rotting meat. Pretty grim. Coming from a door to the west?
Goblin smell, probably.
Good bet. Yeah. And one of the players doesn't wait around, just bursts right through the door.
Always one like that. What's inside?
Goblin central, well, a small part of it. Three goblins in a messy room. Tattered hides for hammocks, nasty fire pit, broken gear everywhere.
And cue combat music.
Pretty much. Initiative is rolled. One goblin, surprise, didn't expect the door to fly open.
What happens in the fight? Any highlights?
It's a quick flurry. Crossbow shot, then dropping the crossbow for a rapier. Someone moves up. Scimitar attack, spear attack.
Magic.
Oh, yeah. Firebolt goes off, makes the room even dimmer. Then someone casts Gust of Wind. Interesting choice.
Crowd control.
Maybe. Someone tries bandaging a downed goblin, and then, surprisingly, an intimidation attempt.
Does it work?
It does. One goblin actually surrenders, throws down his weapon.
See? Talking can work sometimes.
Sometimes. They try to interrogate him. He says they're just bandits, maybe 20 or 30 goblins around in total. Says the dragon's locked up somewhere else.
Okay, useful intel. Can they convince him to help?
Nope. He says his clan will kill him if he does. Then he gets bold, threatens the adventurer's clan, reaches for his scimitar, and that's the end of him. Swiftly dispatched. Even Meepo tries to get a hit in, but misses.
Ah, well. So much for negotiation. Loot.
20 silver pieces on one of them. Not exactly a king's ransom.
So room cleared. What? Rest.
Good idea. They decide to take a short rest right there in the goblin room, barricade the door with the bodies.
Charming. Practical, though.
Very. They search the room again while resting, but just find some animal hides. Nothing valuable.
Okay, rest it up. Where to next?
They go through a door to the north. and the whole vibe changes.
Oh, so?
It opens into this wide 20-foot corridor, marble columns carved with dragons, like intertwined, torches on the walls giving off this flickering, hazy light. Feels much grander, older maybe.
Different architecture, interesting. Doors.
Loads of them. One east, one west, three on the north wall. Lots of choices.
Does Meepo know the way to the dragon from here?
Still no clue. But he reacts to one of the north doors. Doesn't say anything, just mouths, goblins, and points.
Okay, a strong hint. Do they check the other doors first? Listen.
Yep, classic dungeon crawl technique. Listen at the doors.
Were they here?
One door has lots of kobold voices. Maybe their main area is nearby. Another has shuffling raises. The GM jokes it's Dracolish chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
One door is silent. Another just leads back to a corridor connected to the room they were just in. And then there's the door Meepo pointed at. Definitely goblin sounds from there.
So they try some of the others first. Cautious approach?
Seems like it. One door opens into another empty goblin room. Small campfire, pots, pans. Another door leading off it. Standard stuff.
Anything else?
Another door reveals a pantry. Water, wine, probably terrible. Some food. 5 flasks of oil, useful. And barrels labeled elf pudding.
Elf pudding, okay. Goblins are weird.
Tell me about it. Then another door opens onto an east-west corridor, more doors west and north, and they hear noise from the north again.
Goblins again.
Sounds like it. Goblin language detected. So the party gears up, ready to breach another north door. They're getting good at this.
Practice makes perfect, or at least leads to more goblin fights.
Right. They bust in. Room looks pretty much the same as the others. Goblin surprised. Initiative rolled. Here we go again.
Round 2 of goblin clearing. Any differences this time?
More firebolts right away. An arrow hits, surprises one goblin. Melee fighters move in. Scimitar, booming blade.
Booming blade. That's a nice spell.
Yeah, but the player tries using inspiration on the attack roll and fails. Bad luck. One goblin manages to bite someone.
Ouch. But the adventurers prevail.
Yeah. Another firebolt, a final scimitar hit. 2 more goblins down.
Loot this time.
Better. 51 silver pieces. They're building up a small fund.
So one goblin left standing from this group.
Seems so. And now they have that debate again. Kill it or take it prisoner. What's the right move?
Always a tough call in the moment.
But before they decide, someone smells something from another nearby door.
Not garbage this time.
Doesn't sound like it. And Meepo gets really excited, points frantically. He thinks Calcrix, the dragon, is behind this door.
Oh boy, this is it.
He thinks so. He rushes forward, throws the door open, shouting about the dragon, and is immediately bitten and killed by the dragon inside. Just like that. Gone.
Whoa. No, Meepo. Seriously.
Seriously. Instant death. Shocking moment. Really hammers home the danger and how fast things can turn. Poor Meepo.
Wow. Okay, so the dragon was there. What's the lair like?
It's grim. Badly stuffed animal heads on the walls, including some kobold heads.
Yikes. That's dark.
Broken cabinets, junk everywhere. A big rusty spike in the middle with a broken chain. Patches of frost on the ground. And sleeping there is Calcrix, a white wormling. Young, but still a dragon.
And now it's awake, presumably, after biting Meepo.
Oh, yeah. It's awake, and it's hostile. Initiative time again. Dragon fight.
How does this combat go? Firebolts worked on goblins, but a white dragon.
Exactly. Firebolts, basically useless. White dragons have cold resistance, and often immunity or resistance to fire isn't uncommon either in some interpretations, though here it just seems ineffective. Someone casts resistance, trying to buff defenses.
Smart. Gotta survive that breath weapon.
They manage to dodge the first blast of icy breath. Close call. Then it's crossbow shots, melee fighters moving in, daggers, booming blade again.
Does the dragon hit back hard?
Definitely. It bites one of the party members pretty badly, does significant damage, forces a concentration check for any spellcaster's hit.
Oof. Healing needed.
Someone tries bandaging. Another uses a healing word spell. They're trying to keep people up while still putting damage on the dragon. It's a tough fight.
But they manage it.
Eventually, yeah. After a tense back and forth, they finally bring the wormling down. Calcrix is defeated. Killed.
Phew. Okay. Dragon down. Mm. Meepo dead. Quite the outcome. What about looting the lair? Dragons like hordes, even young ones.
It's gathered a small collection. A crystal goblet, 1 jade figurine, a scroll case made of bone, and 24 pieces of silverware.
Silverware. Okay. Eclectic taste.
Yeah. Now comes the really tricky part, the aftermath.
What do they do about the dead dragon? their deal was to rescue it.
Exactly. Big moral dilemma time. Do they take the dead dragon back to Yuzdrail? They agreed to rescue it, but it killed Meepo. Does that change things?
And then there's the whole maybe it has angry parents angle, too.
Right. Plus, you know, the ethics of the kobolds wanting a dragon as a pet, essentially, versus the adventurers breaking their word. It's right. Messy.
Does anyone suggest, I don't know, trying to fix the dragon?
There's a brief mention in the transcript about maybe stabilizing it, but I think that was maybe a misunderstanding or quickly dropped. It's definitely dead.
Okay, so what's the decision?
They decide to go back to Yuzdrail, take the body of the dragon, and Meepo's body, too. Not an easy walk back, I imagine.
Facing the queen after failing, sort of, and losing her subject, how does she react?
She's sad about Meepo, definitely. But she seems to frame it as, like, a necessary sacrifice to get the dragon back. Even dead, reclaiming the symbol is important.
So she's not angry?
Apparently not furious, no.
Hmm.
More pragmatic, maybe. And she keeps her end of the bargain, gives them the reward she promised.
What was it again?
3 elixirs of health, a claw feather token, scrolls of knock, mage armor, and spider climb. Pretty decent haul.
Yeah, that's quite useful stuff. What about that scroll case from the dragon's hoard?
Ah, right. It's made of bone, has some dwarvish inscription on it, but it's partly destroyed. Still, probably worth a bit of money itself.
So how do things end? What's the situation with the kobolds now?
Well, with the dragon returned, even dead, the adventurers are suddenly heroes in the eyes of the kobolds. Big status change.
Even after Meepo?
Yeah, though the transcript notes one female kobold is particularly upset about Meepo, so it's not all cheers and celebration. A bittersweet victory.
Wow, that was session 2. A lot happened. From finding poor Meepo to making a deal, fighting goblins, losing Meepo, fighting a dragon. Quite the arc.
Absolutely. It really shows how dynamic these games are. Alliances made, alliances sort of tragically ended. Meepo's death was definitely a surprise twist.
And the moral ambiguity around the dragon, too.
Mm.
He killed it, but was that the right thing? Was rescuing it for the kobolds right? Lots to think about.
Exactly. It demonstrates that emergent storytelling, player choices, dice rolls. It creates something unpredictable and often quite compelling. Even NPCs you think are just there for info can have these major tragic arcs.
So for you listening, think about where this leaves the adventurers. They have new gear, a new reputation with the kobolds.
Yeah.
But what's next? Deeper into the Citadel, what about Erky Timbers? What about Carolyn DeKrell's children?
And maybe that bigger question lingers. What does it mean to be good or heroic in a world where even supposedly evil creatures like these kobolds have their own values, their own tragedies, and ask you for help? It's rarely black and white.
A really compelling question to chew on. Thanks for diving deep into session 2 with us.
My pleasure. Lots to unpack there.
Until next time, keep exploring those questions.